Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
I want to talk this morning about things that many feel we understand, and we've taken it into religious ceremonies and things, but we really don't understand demon spirits. And most of the churches are teaching a doctrine that, you know, there's someday this Antichrist is going to come, and he's going to set up, you know, headship and leadership and different things in this world. And the whole world, I know the Bible says, will follow after him. And that's the truth. But it's already happening. It's already happened. It's been happening for many years. We get too chronological with the Word of God. And when I say that, we got things moved, and there is orders of God. You know, there was a dispensation of law, dispensations in time, there's dispensations of grace. And I understand that. Those do run in a chronological perspective, but we're sons of God. We're in the Spirit of God. We're in the one eternal day of God. You understand that? And we've got to realize that the things are taking place, and one man could be, so to speak, in a tribulation, and another man be standing in Canaan in peace. You understand that? And they could be sitting next to one another. You know, you could be speaking to numerous people, and you could have three or four or whatever just absorbing and receiving the word, and the rest are just going through the motions. They're there, and yeah, I've heard this before. You know, and it's a quickening of a spirit that God is trying to help them. And you know, there's so many people that have spirits, they don't even realize it. They really don't realize that they have demon spirits in them. They say, oh, son of God doesn't have no demon spirits. You know, when somebody gets born of God. Well, let me tell you something. You've got to understand of these three different dimensions. And when the demon spirit gets into the third dimension and you're into your spirit, and he possesses you and you're lost, you're gone. But let me tell you something. There's demons that come into the soul dimension. And that's where the warfare and the fight's at. And we all deal with these things. Jesus went by himself unto the mount of temptation. He went up to pray 40 days. And the demon spirits came there. He had a war with the devil himself. The Bible said when the sons of God come to present themselves, the devil's there also. So you think, oh yeah, you know, I went to church last Sunday. Man, I'm a son of God and I seen the devil come in. Boy, Brother Rob, he walked in or she walked in. But no, I'm talking about if you come by yourself. If every one of you wasn't here this morning, I come here all by myself. That scripture is real. I'm a son of God, but Satan is here also. We've got to realize that, and we've got to understand where he's at. And he's climbing through the second dimension, trying to get into your spirit. And we have to learn his tactics and his ways. And once he climbs in all the way, Brother Pike used to use expressions. He'd say it's like a worm that gets into the meat of an apple. You can take a knife and cut that worm out, and the rest of the apple will be okay. You understand? But he said once it gets to the core, he said the apple's no good. And see, Satan is eating away at humanity and flesh and thoughts and mind and things. And the thing is, he needs to be cut out. He's got to be cut off and cut out and removed. Has to be. Now, you could take and hear this message, and boy, Brother Rob's talking to this. I'm talking to each and every one of us. You know, my wife is a wonderful sister. She loves the Lord. She's faithful, honest. She doesn't give me problems. But one of the hardest things is when my pastor came to me and he said, your wife's got a demon spirit, Brother Rob, buried way down in there. And this was a faithful woman, followed me all over the country when I was traveling and giving up homes and walking. And you know, he said, man, she must not have been born again. Now, he didn't say that. He didn't say that because when he met me, he said some very positive things to me. Knew that I was a child of God, my name in the book of life, said very positive things. But see, I had spirits also. I had these religious spirits that I thought were okay with God. I thought this was part of the move of God, and I thought, but they were demon spirits that were familiar or similar, and they were disguised themselves in a religious way. They were perplexing. They were vexing. So you get into a lot of thoughts, and a lot of people say, well, I know a Christian can't be possessed with a devil. But let me tell you something. They're going to torment them. They're going to depress them. When you see a Christian walking in depression, when you see him going through something, those are spirits. That's not the spirit of God. When you see anger exploding in a man, that's not a Christ spirit. The Bible said, you know, God angered, but he didn't sin in his anger. When anger causes a man to sin, then it's a demon spirit. What I'm speaking here about this morning, we want to understand spirits. If we could learn to understand it, we're in a spiritual warfare, in a spiritual fight. Because we get into this religious ideologies and games and stuff. Well, I've accepted Jesus. I ask him into my heart. Let me tell you something. The day that you receive the Spirit of God, and God came and started opening your eyes and washing you and cleansed you and opened your eyes, now you're getting into a battle. Before, Satan left you pretty much alone because he already owned you, already had you. When you get into a message and get into a place that you could be indoctrinated and taught, Satan's going to fight you 100%. He's going to do everything he can to get you away from that. You know, he's going to put thoughts in your mind, and this is why the Bible said we've got to learn to cast down thoughts and vain imaginations. This thought will come, and all of a sudden a thought come, and all of a sudden it starts multiplying. It starts breathing, so to speak. And then all of a sudden this is open. And see, this is where demon spirits come through your into your soul. They're going to come by the way of thought. That's why the Bible said we've got to cast thoughts down. This is why the Bible said we've got to be careful of evil communications, things that we hear. So you think, well, that's by somebody else speaking. Those spirits speak to you just like a man would speak to you, or just like a woman. You'll have a thought come. You know, and sometimes we make things similar. You could have a man that's dealing with alcoholism. And he says, you know, I know this isn't pleasing to God. I got to get away from that stuff. And boy, then he's working, it's hot or something like that, and driving down the road, and he might see an old beer sign or Budweiser sign or something like that. He says, boy, that sure sounds good. That's an old demon looking for a door to open up right there. Yeah, that sounds good. A man dealing with lust and has problems with women and things like that. I mean, you know, the devil, man, he knows how to take and make a move just right and walk just right. Them old gals will go by you. You know, and all of a sudden there's a door open right there for a demon spirit. And if you open up that door, he could get in and he could perplex your mind and swallow you up. We can't stop these thoughts from coming, brother said, but we can control them once they come. We could either yield to a thought or we could start casting a thought out. We can start throwing thoughts down, putting them down, putting them under our feet. You know, there's times we got to say, shut up, Satan. I'm sick and tired. You've done stole my life. You've done ruined my life. And I'm sick of your mind. You know, I'm sick of your thoughts. I'm sick of your world. You know, when you've been in the world and you've tasted of it and been partakers of it, then you can say, you know what? I've done tried that route. You know, some people who makes presentations, I watch youth struggling things. Youth, you know, Satan's luring them. Say, man, he's luring them with finance, luring them with fame, luring them with abilities and skills and occupations. And he just got them, boy, they're going and saying, you know, I listened to Brother Pike get behind the sacred desk. And he said, man, do you want your youth back, brother? And the man was about 60 some odd years old and, you know, speaking like this. He goes, you know, you want your youth back, Brother Jordan? He said, absolutely not. He said, that was a wilderness. He said, man, I don't want to go through that ever again. Man, all the lust and all the thoughts and all the things that perplex youth. He said, man, praise God for getting a little older, a little bit of wisdom, starting to get some things more under control. You know, there's allegories I could speak about. The reproductive drive, for expression's sake, in a man or in a woman, as they get elder and older, they'll start reciting back. It shows with wisdom some of the things in the spiritual realm. Some of those things we get wise to, we could analyze it and see it, and see that it's just something to kill your soul and devour your life and to cause you to perish. You know, so we've got to learn to identify. The Bible says, I could turn you over there, I'm not going to, but it's in 1 John, I believe, the 4th chapter, but it starts out there, says, try the Spirit and see if it be of God. Well, what does that mean? Try the Spirit. Well, you know, old Brother Rob showed up over on my job site yesterday. I had to try the Spirit and see if he's of God today. You know, and I say, well, praise God, you got partial revelation there, and you need to. But the thing is we got to try the Spirit. Spirit's going to enter into your thinking. A spirit's going to come, and you know, if you cast it down and put it down, but if you meditate on it, it's going to consume you. A spirit could come. The devil's a liar and a father of all lies. He could come to me and put a thought in my mind. You know, old Brother Elliot don't like you, Brother Rob. He thinks you're a loudmouth, arrogant, no good rascal. I say, oh yeah, he does. And then all of a sudden I start treating him a little bit distant. All of a sudden I start standing away from him. Now so all of a sudden the same devil that spoke to me is going to go to the brother and say, you notice that preacher's kind of stiff-arming you and staying a little bit distant from you? You see him doing that? I don't think he likes you. And then all of a sudden, now the devil come to do exactly what he wants to, kill, steal, and destroy. When I love Brother Elliot, sometimes I preach at him, he thinks, I don't know if this guy loves me or not, but I didn't know if it was love when Daddy was busting my hind in, and I sure needed it, but I think that's what it was. And that's a manifestation of love, amen. So let's go into the scriptures, and let's consider a few things and talk about a few things this morning, and I'll try not to keep you long. You know, people get a little drawled up with me, say, I'm just minister too long. Well, you know, you send your kids to school. You've been to school and you go there for 6 hours a day, 5 days a week to get an education for you and go out and be corrupted and go out and get into a career. I'm talking about getting you into the kingdom of God. I'm trying to get you into the kingdom and understand spiritual warfare. We send our kids off to the military, and they go off in there, and they got to go through, you know, so many weeks of boot camp, and they separate them from the world. They keep them in there 24/7. They have no communication, and they're trying to get them straightened up for they could be a soldier. We're supposed to be soldiers for Christ. And we got our thoughts and our minds and everything out here and so many things in the world. And then the preacher's supposed to come here and tickle your ears for 30 minutes. You're ready to make it into the kingdom. You're ready to fight the good fight of faith. You're ready to stand against the adversary, the devil. You see, if our military takes so much time to train a man how to fight naturally, how much more so is my responsibility to teach you how to fight the good fight of faith? Oh, well, I just asked Jesus to come into my heart and, you know, and hey, everything's all right. Well, you're going to go to hell with you thinking Jesus is in your heart. It's a lying devil. You know when Jesus is in your heart because you're about the Father's business doing the same thing that he did when he was here. And you're going to draw and you're going to hunger. You're going to thirst. You're going to push. You're going to see that you're kicking the gates of hell down. Satan didn't like him. He's not going to like you when you're filled with the Spirit. Luke chapter 8. Let's look at a couple things here. It says, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And a certain woman which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Are you thankful we still have the power of healing today? A certain woman which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils. 7 devils. Think about it now a minute. I wonder how many devils I've given place to. I wonder if I've ever given place to maybe 70 at one time. What is a demon? What is a devil? What do they do? How do they operate in you? Have you ever had lust working in your members and drawing and desiring? You know, we might have an old gluttony devil on us. And boy, I'll tell you what, man, it just crawls and eats you alive. You ever had that gluttony devil talk to you over at nighttime? I have. Oh, man, that cookie's looking good about 2 in the morning. Oh, give me that thing. Come on, I just like making things real. The bad thing about gluttony devils is it shows up on everybody. But you can have an old spirit of lust and hide that thing when you come around. You know, you can have an old angry spirit. You can keep that thing under control. But that old gluttony devil sticks out all over. But, I mean, come on now, brethren. You know, in Christianity, that's one devil that we just accept. Oh, he's an okay one. But there's more people dying in our country from gluttony and obesity than probably anything else just about. I mean, it's just people dying all around. And it's just the way Satan wants to kill us. And then we turn gossip and tail-bearing and backbiting into a religious thing. Oh, sister, listen, let's pray for old brother such and such. You know what he did last week? And you know this and that. And boy, but we're doing it spiritually because we're saying to pray now. But all we're doing is sowing discord. And that's the thing God hates more than anything. Those are demons, brother. You know, a lot of times we just want to remove them, but they're demon spirits. Maybe there's 2 spirits I can cast out this morning. And then we have another one that has an explosive temper, loses their control and stuff like that. Is that a demon spirit? Come on now. Let's get real a minute this morning. Everything is motivated. Would you see any action, any movement, anything happening? It's got to be a spirit because the spirit is what utilizes this body. And if you remove the spirit from this body, brothers and sisters, this body is dead. So anything that spoke, anything that's moved, anything that you see is being motivated by a spirit. Now in the spiritual dimension, there are spirits that are reproducing. There are spirits that are being fed. There are spirits that are drawing, spirits that are eating, spirits are doing many things. Brother George saw a married man one time standing right in his presence with another married woman over here in his presence. They both had their spouses with them, and these spirits came together and intermingled right in his presence, which was adultery. Standing right in the front yard of a holiness preacher's home. And you say, well, I don't know if I understand that. Well, see, this is what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about spirits. We're talking, you know, when you talk about being born again, there's a relationship that takes place in a spiritual realm, and there's a birthing in the spirit, and there's a birthing that takes place just like a natural one. I mean, the natural one is the shadow of it. When you see all the exuberance in the relationship, when you see the joy of when the child comes, and all those kind of things, those are all understanding of another dimension. You know, and when you see that people are not moved by the spiritual realm, when you don't see the joy of seeing the spirits being set free or delivered or even coming to life or birthed, then there's a problem. They're in the wrong realm. They're in the wrong dimension. Satan is shrewd. He comes forth with substitutes. I ministered a message not long ago about that. You know, when they were running dope into Florida, they were bringing boats in. And they'd bring a boat loaded down with stuff and bring a boat in to bring it into a stash house to bring drugs in. So what they would do is they'd take another boat and light it on fire. And they'd light a boat on fire, and now all the Coast Guard and everybody's going to this boat on fire. Where the Mayday's at over here, and all they're all going that way, and then here comes the drug boat that goes right in. It was a diversion. There was something made to do it. It's a tactic used in many things for years. But who mastered that? Satan did. Now it's the same way in the Pentecostal churches today. We can get so infatuated with the things that are moving in the flesh that we forget the move of the Spirit. We get excited about the things of the flesh, and we see the things of the flesh. You know, Jesus, when he walked among men, because he was dealing with the natural Jews, which is in a natural world, there were natural healings. He was raising the dead. He was making blind eyes to see. He was making lame to walk. Praise God. Hallelujah. But let me tell you something. That doesn't excite me. I'm sorry. Let me tell you something. There's people that can't walk. There's people that can't see that are running in the Spirit. And they can see into things that you would only desire to see. You see, I'm speaking by another dimension. And the thing is that dimension is so superior to the natural one. The lady that wrote some of the songs, the blind lady, some of you know who I'm speaking about, but they said that she made a statement one time that she did not want to receive her natural sight. She was afraid, she said, if I received my natural sight, I would maybe quit seeing the things that I see now. She was looking in another dimension. Jesus said, though you have eyes, you don't see. The move of the Spirit today, the people of the world won't see it. It's hid from them. It's blind to them. It don't thrill them. It doesn't move them at all. They're looking for the bells, the whistles, the exuberances. And the churches are eat up with those things. And the thing is yes, God still opens blind eyes, naturally speaking. He still takes and makes lame people walk today. He extends days, and he's still a miracle working in that way. But those aren't the miracles he's concerned with. I've spoke about this to clear up this thought, but I said, greater things shall we do, you and I, as children of God, than what Jesus did. You saw Jesus working miracles, making people see that couldn't see, ears that couldn't hear. But see, that wasn't what it was all about. When the disciples went out and were performing miracles like that, when he sent 70 of them out, they come back and said, the seven devils are subject to us. And he said, that didn't move him. He said, what should move you is that their name be in the book of life. You understand that? So that when he said, we'll do greater things, because he came and laid his life down and died and gave us his Spirit. The same Spirit that dwelled in him is dwelling in us. He gave us his Spirit. It's no longer we speaking or us, it's him speaking. So he gave us his Spirit. Now the thing is we're opening up eyes. But you can have a man get his eyes opened up right in your presence, and the people like, eh. But if there was a man with the white stick, man, they're going to get up and dance and shout, glory, hallelujah. I will too. But I'm telling you, what's greater? That man that gets his eyes open, walk out and go bust hell wide open. He was blind, he sought the Lord and different things like that. Now he's got his eyes open up, and he goes out lusting after women, goes to dance, all stuff, and goes to hell. And you think, what have you done? You just put a man in hell. Bible said, lay hands on no man suddenly. Maybe that's why it tells us not to do that. You see, we got to learn to think differently. We're talking about spirits. And you could sit here and listen to me this morning, and it's that one over there that's got the devil. It's that one over there that's got the devil. It's that one over there that got the devil. And you could look in the mirror and look at yourself and walk away, not examining yourself and not remembering what manner of man you really are. We all are subject, brothers and sisters, to spirits. Does that make me not spiritual? No, it makes you spiritual when you realize that you're subject to spirits. It makes you spiritual authority when you realize that these spirits could come to you and they could take your thoughts in your mind. How many times have you spoke something and regretted speaking it? Come on now, we all have. You know, if we're going to be honest here. I like Brother Billy back there. He's always, hey man, got both hands up. One ain't good enough, you know. That's me, man. Amen. I'm the same way. Yeah, we're in these competitions as man. Oh, I want to be more spiritual than him. I know more about him. I got more of God than he's got. Man, I this and that and I that. And we're boasting and boasting and boasting. Those are just demon spirits. A son of God, you'll recognize him because he's esteeming his brother greater than himself. And he made himself to be the least in the kingdom, esteeming others, laying his life down for others. We're still speaking about these spirits, trying to understand them. Well, I got delivered, brother. I got washed in the blood of the Lamb. I got washed by Lord Jesus. I got filled with the Holy Ghost, and I'm walking in the power of God, this and that. And I said, yeah, I've heard the same testimony from many that are bound with demon spirits. They can't walk right. They're everywhere they go. They're robbing, cheating, stealing, lying, and drinking and snorting. And you say, oh, my. Come on, Brother Rob. Oh, I've met them. I've shook hands and been hand in hand with tongue talkers, man, that are often the most wretched perversion that you've ever seen. Things that I wouldn't even want to speak. And it's happening all the time. So how do we know when a man's got a demon? You see, we've taken doctrines like, you know, being filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence speaking in tongues. A man comes to church, he speaks in tongues, and you say, okay, he's the Son of God. And he's nothing but a wolf. Might have sheep clothes on, but that's what he is. You say, well, you make things frightening. I hope so. I know that we cannot be deceived. We are sons of God, but the deceptive powers are so strong in our country right now. How many times have people, naturally speaking, went out and voted and put somebody in office and found out that they were naturally deceived by what they listened to on the news media, and they thought this was the man for the ticket or this, then they went and voted for it. They said, man, that guy deceived me with his lying words, and I put him in office. I voted for him, you might say. That's not my testimony. I'm not going to put my hand on no ballot. Too many devils out there, man. I'm not giving Godspeed to it. I got a vote to make, one vote only is for my King Jesus, amen. And he's going to put in there who he wants. It don't matter if you vote or don't vote. He's going to put in office who he wants. He absolutely, through the foreordination of God, put Obama in office. Our Lord Jesus done that. Now listen to me. You said, I was the devil. No, you're wrong. Thus saith the Lord. Listen to me. I'm prophesying. If I'm wrong, then I'll find myself in hell. The Lord Jesus Christ put Obama in office because he had to do it to fulfill his word. He said he'd give them a leader after their own heart. And that's the heart of America. I'm sorry. But they took Jesus out of their schools. They're doing everything in a way to get him out of everything. So God gave them a leader after their own heart, one full of darkness. Amen. What does the devil come to do? Kill, steal, and destroy. You want to learn how to cast out devils? We need to start with the Commander-in-Chief of United States of America. He's Antichrist, demon-possessed. If we're going to start at the upper lintels of it, then we're going to go next to the Catholic Pope. And then we're going to go to the head honcho of the Baptist Convention. And then we're going to go right on down through there. We got to start at the top, brothers and sisters. The Bible said judgment begins in the house of God. Then we're going to come over and deal with Brother Rob. Amen. Do I give place to demon spirits? I have. When you call yourself a pastor, you find a pastor that says that there's not been a time in their life that they yielded to a spirit, he's just a liar. I'm telling you what, he's just a liar. My Lord and Savior that was God, robed in flesh, walking among men, learned obedience by the things that he suffered. I heard Sister Gina's testimony. She wrote a little short testimony about her husband, saying, you know, he ran from God, 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 wouldn't submit. She said he had to knock him down, put him flat on his back. She said he's a different man now. How are you going to come in? You're going to come in by obedience, or you're going to come in by suffering? I rejoice either way. I would rather see you come in by obedience. You know, but sometimes we're ignorant. Sometimes we have to lose this and lose that and make sacrifice that when all we need to do is be obedient to God. Why were you disobedient to God? Because demon spirits. See, you got to learn to understand where these spirits are at. The Bible said we're encamped by a great cloud of witnesses. There are spirits all around us all the time. If you could get your eyes open for just a moment to see into the spiritual dimension, the things which you would call the invisible realm, and you saw that thing, it would absolutely blow your mind. Of all of the spirits that are all around and about. And these spirits want to destroy you. They came to kill, steal, and destroy. So now we've got to say, okay, let's get out of our religious little games. Oh, and I said the sinner's prayer. Oh, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm not mocking that, brethren. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost and the power of God. Amen. And it's the power to tread on scorpions and serpents. It's the power to press. It's the power to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. It's the power to take up that sword of the Spirit and fight the good fight of faith. But what I'm saying is we just say this little prayer and then we just get at ease and Zion and, oh, yeah, praise God, hallelujah. Boy, Jesus is my Savior. You think he's your Savior. When he's your Savior, he's your Commander-in-Chief and he's teaching you to fight the good fight. Because there's a war going on for your soul. And there's invisible spirits that are seeking to devour you and destroy you and to get your mind and get your thoughts. And he's going to come at you with the word of God. He's going to use the Bible. Satan could quote the Bible to you, and you think, man, I've heard from heaven, and it's Satan just getting you off track. Now, I'll say this. You see, we could be religious, say, well, you know, I'm going to stay home today and fast and pray all day. And it might be nothing but a demon spirit that told you to do that. Do you realize that? Let's bring it down into a realm that we can understand that. I remember when I got in trouble at school. When I got in trouble at school, I had my hind end whooped real good with a paddle. I mean, I had a principal, man, he could bring your feet off the ground when he had you bending over a chair. You think I'm kidding, huh? And now, you know, we're macho guys, you know, we're not going to cry, but I'll tell you what, man, you sitting there holding that eyes watering allergies, you know. You wouldn't want your buddies to know, man, this dude wore your hind end out. But that's the sad thing about it, man. I knew I was going to get it again when I got home. I've shared this with you, but my mom come home from work one day. Man, I'm down on my hands and knees. We didn't have no wax floors when I was a kid. There wasn't no such thing. Man, we had that old paste wax, man. I'm down there, son, making that thing shine. Mama didn't come in and say, oh, son, man, I love you so much. Thank you for cleaning the floor for Mama. Man, she was smarter than that. She didn't say thank you. She didn't even care about, man, I had that dude shining, son. I mean, you could have slid across him with the socks 60 feet, man. I mean, I had this dude looking good. Mama didn't say one thing about first. She go, okay, son, what'd you do? First thing out of her mouth, what'd you do, boy? It didn't hold the wrath back. So now my hands were hurting from polishing, and now my hind end was hurting again. But we do the same thing with God now, don't we? We try to appease God. Well, Lord God, I know I was disobedient and this and that, but I'm going to fast and pray today. Well, I'm not saying I'm all against that. Maybe you need to show some repentance and some thanks. But the thing is fasting and praying is not going to change the fact of what His desire is for you to do. You say, well, that's really what His desire is. His desire is for you to fast and pray for you could get a word from the Lord and get all of your thoughts and all your ideas out of the way for you could get down to hear exactly what His desire is for you. So when you fast and pray, the purpose of it is to hear and to put action with what you've heard and be about the Father's business. You understand that? So while you're fasting and praying could just be a simple thing of you thinking that you're appeasing Him, like I was polishing a floor, and you're over there polishing the floor, and He's saying, well, this isn't really what I want you to do. I want you to be obedient. I want you to walk with Me. I want you to fellowship with Me. Amen? We get callings in our lives, and God wants us to do things, so we try to appease Him. We get busy doing what we want to do, and we do it with a spiritual emphasis. And we say, oh, you know, hey, I'm trying to win a soul, or I'm trying to do this, I'm trying to do that. And all He wants you to do is yield to Him. He wants you to surrender and yield your spirit to Him and say, here I am, Lord. Very few have done that, brethren. I'm telling you the truth. People will yield their spirit in part. They'll give their spirit and try to hold back some of it. You know, women do the same thing when they get married. Well, you know, I'm not going to let this ignorant sucker tell me what to do. I got my own sovereign, I got my own mind, my own will and everything. Go to hell with it. That's what's going to happen. We got to learn how to surrender. We got to learn how to give our all. And now you can make the woman wrong and say, well, that's the problem. My wife wouldn't give her all. The only reason she couldn't give her all because you ain't gave your all. She's just reflecting you. You're holding on to some of your life and doing some of your will and doing some of your thing. And she can't never submit to that because God will never allow her to submit to that. And matter of fact, God will harden her heart and make her not submit to you. And He'll even raise her up. You thought it was bad when I said that He put Obama in office? What about when I tell you that the Lord is the one that made your wife mean and made her ugly and made her that way? Because He's just trying to show you you. Because you haven't submitted. You think you've submitted. You think you've given Him your all, but you got your own thoughts, your own ideology, your own mind, your own desire. You're going to do it when you want to do it. You're going to go where you want to go. Do it however you think, and you're just controlling your own life, and you're nothing but a whore. I'm talking about men and women alike. I know I talk strong, brethren, but that's what it is. I have to talk to you in ways that you can understand. If a woman is married and she's off with other men, it makes her a whore according to the Bible, if you understand what the Bible is. And if I'm out here having friendship with this world, it makes me a whore. With all my church going and all my religious activities, I'm a whore in the Bible. I've committed adultery. Adultery is, you know, harlotry. He said to Israel, it's chosen. He said, you've committed adultery under every green tree. You know, oh yeah, boy, Israel, this and that. But what about us? We could be talking about Israel and we can go into the times and the things and everything that they've done. All, and we're doing the very same thing. By fellowship in the world, by fellowship in these things out there. Satan is moving through the religious order. That's the upper echelon. That's where he's going to move through. This is why judgment has to begin in the house of God. What did Jesus do? He went in there to the temple and he took a whip in there and ran them out. Why didn't he go out to where the taxpayers were at and do that? Why didn't he go out there where they were into the house of harlotry and all those things? because the cleansing is going to come to the temple. And what about you? The Bible said he chastens them that he loves. If there's no chastening, there's no love there. Come on now. When you go to these churches and the preachers ain't reproving, rebuking, and chastening and turn people from sin, it's because there's no love there. Why ain't there no love there? Because there's no Holy Ghost there. They're going through the motions. It's just religious. That's all it is, religion. They wouldn't understand a demon spirit. You know why they wouldn't understand? Because they're bound by them. These ministers, they've transformed themselves into ministers of righteousness. But they're ministers of Satan. They've transformed into ministers of righteousness. Oh, surely this guy's got a degree in theology, man, and he went to seminary school. He's got to be a minister of righteousness. Sure he is. He's one of Satan's. People don't like to hear that stuff. Man, Brother Rob, you're just too strong. You're just too hard. Well, you know, how easy are you supposed to be? Take your little three-year-old and let him start running across the parking lot, and you see traffic whipping by 40 mile an hour down the road. You know, and you scream out, "Hey, boy, come here!" "Oh, you're just too loud." Man, you're going to scream as loud as you can. You're concerned for your child's soul, and you're going to scream out. But this society and stuff we're in, the Bible said, raise up your voice like a trumpet. They've painted this Jesus as being this little politically correct sissy. Oh, and he wouldn't offend nobody. They just don't know him. They don't have any idea about him whatsoever at all. Let's go on down just a little bit. I want to read a little more to you. So we see here this woman. She was healed of her infirmities, had these spirits cast out. We know more about her, the stories about her, where she fell down at the feet of the Lord Jesus and she dried her tears off of his feet with her hair. This woman got delivered, brothers and sisters. Amen. I could speak about the parable that he's speaking about, these seeds going forth. Y'all know the parable. Some of the seed went on dry ground, some of it went on other, some of it sprang up, and he goes into an explanation of that. You know, and brothers, sometimes, you know, the seed, the sowing of the word of God is a seed going forth. And sometimes demon spirits will come, the fowl of the air, it shows in the thing, they come and rob that away. They'll rob that away from you or eat it because it didn't find a good place deep. Sometimes things spring up real quick. Boy, you see, it looks like, oh man, this person, boy, I can see the word of God. I see it spring up real quick, but there's no good earth down in there. And the sun, the cares of the world, the Bible said, and it comes and scorches it out. We've seen it over the years. We've seen people come in on fire. Boy, they're going to burn up the fields for God. And then they're right back out into the thing. The Bible said a dog returning to its vomit. We got to be careful. These things are in there for us to understand. The devil wants to kill you. He wants to take your soul. He wants to take you and your families, your friends with him. And boy, and he has a way of doing it. I tell you what, people, they go get indoctrinated and they hear this and they hear that. And boy, they're sharing it. And it's not always the word of God. It's not the word. You know how many doctrines there are out there that aren't of God? A different doctrine? You know the scriptures. He said if they come preaching any other doctrine than what Jesus preached, let them be accursed. You think it's something is a blessing to be cursed? But there's so many doctrines out there that don't line up with his word. And then when you preach the doctrine of his word, they're going to hate you. So make a decision. Do you want to be loved by everybody or do you want to be hated? You know what the scriptures say? He came to bring a sword. I didn't come to bring peace. He said, I come to bring a sword. Put the family against one another. You're going to be hated within your own family. Unless your family's been born again. If your family ain't born again. If your family loves you and they're worldly, brothers and sisters, and you're a son of God, there's a problem there. Because it's a violation of the word of God. Oh, but I, you know, Brother Rob, I'm not like you. I know how to just kind of blend in and just get along with everybody. Yeah, you think you're blended in. Because you're going to blend right into the flames with them. I won't be able to tell you from one other piece of firewood burning in hell. You understand what I'm saying? If you want to blend in. Show me where Jesus did that. We can go right here in this passage of scriptures where his own mother came to him. And the disciples came to him and said, Lord, your mother's here to see you. And he said, who is my mother? Oh, but you're talking about the Virgin Mary, Brother Rob. Man, she's the Catholic God. He said, who is my mother? He said, these here are my family. He was talking about the children of God. Amen. Closer than a brother. When you get born again, you got to find a family to be part of, or the other family's going to eat you alive and destroy you and kill you, is what will happen. I'm sorry to say your husbands will put you in hell. Your wives will put you into hell. Your children will put you in hell. I've seen good men of God that love the Lord and different things, but because of the compromise for their children, they lose their soul. The compromise for their families. We got to be careful. You know, I wish I could just enter into this little fluffy religious realm that some people walk in. It's, oh, praise, glory to God, hallelujah. I'm serious. Well, you make everything doom and gloom, Brother Rob. Hey, we're in a war. We're good soldiers for Christ. He gave us weapons of warfare. He gave us a sword and a shield and a helmet. You understand that? Why did he give us those? Because we're in a war. And you want me to come in here and tickle your ears and tell you everything's fine and Jesus just loves everybody? No, there's a Satan roaring as a lion trying to devour you and your families and kill you. And we want to play religious games and go to church and get our ears tickled and go out and do our thing. We need to start coming to the house of God, being prepared to learn to fight. You understand that? We've got men here that have proven themselves not to fight. But then yet, we got to be careful. Everybody likes R&R. A little rest and relaxation, huh? Oh, let's just... Had one brother in our church here. He thought, man, I'm going to come in and work and labor with the brother. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to share finances. I'm going to give thousands of dollars. This day. Man, I've done pretty good for 6 months. Now I'm going to take off. I'm going to take a whore with me, go over to this island. I'm going to go do a little fish and do a little this and that. Hey, you know, I kind of deserve this. That's a stinking... Help me, Lord Jesus. That's what we do. We think I got these two big savings accounts, you know, and I'm going to put all this, I'm going to help do something for God over here, and boy, it's over here. And now, boy, I've really done something. I can go over here and do a little bit of this. Lord will wink on it. He might by the grace of God, and he may not. How much gambling do you want to do with your soul? How much gambling do you want to do with your eternity? I've said this from the sacred desk so many times. We think about, you know, Esau selling out his birthright, you know, for a bowl of soup or porridge or stew or whatever. Well, how stupid can a man sell all of his inheritance for a bowl of soup? He must have been real hungry. Well, I say, well, how ignorant are you to sell your birthright for a one-night stand, or you sell your birthright out for, you know, for prestige and honor. And you sell your birthright out. People do it all the time. Pride kills. It destroys. Are you proud? Well, sure I'm proud. I think we all need to be a little bit proud, you say. Yep. Help us, Lord Jesus. Amen. I hope you can do something to bring honor to him. When you lay your life down, you can bring honor to him. And when he's honored, you're honored. When he's not honored, you're not going to be honored. You raise yourself up, he'll knock you down. When you raise yourself up, he'll knock you down. Take the least, the back seat, and he'll bring you forward. But when you try to take the front one through your ways of intellect, he'll knock you down. He'll kick you all the way to the back. Y'all with me this morning? Go down to verse 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils. You ever meet anybody that had devils? Yeah, I looked in the mirror this morning and thought, oh my, help me, Jesus. You say, preacher, you can't talk like that. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'll stand here before you. I'm not possessed with no devil, but I'll tell you what. They oppress. They depress. They come in and try to get you. You find somebody walking around in depression. Oh, man, this and that. It's a devil. Amen. You find another one walking around. Man, I'll tell you what. I'm the man, son. Woo, sunshine. I'm him, man. Thank God. Man, he put me on this. There's a devil. Boy, I'll tell you what. You hear that sermon I preached? Woo-hoo! Boy, I'll tell you, that was good. That's a devil. I'm just telling you. I'm trying to teach you how to recognize devils. Boy, I tell you what, I fasted for 20 days. Woo-hoo! That's a devil. I'm just trying to help y'all understand what devils are. Well, come on, I'm trying to teach you something. You know, how do you identify a devil? You're talking about doing something good like fasting, it's a devil, and doing this and that. And boy, I tell you what, I smoked more dope than you. I bet you I could drink more beer than you could drink. Y'all been there? Man, I'll tell you what, you punk, man, you got drunk on 3 beers. I drank 2 6-packs. You're a devil. I'm just trying to help you identify what devils are. Man, I got that woman over there. Boy, you should sing it. It's a devil. Boy, did you see my cart's louder than yours? Boy, I got it jacked up just right. It's a devil. Man, my pipes are louder than yours. It's a devil. Well, it ain't a devil. I'm looking for it. I'm trying to find it. They're all over the place. You see, people don't think nothing of that. Yeah, we all got tastes. We all got likes. But a lot of our tastes and a lot of our likes are demon-influenced. Brother Pike said this, a loud pipe's a loud mouth. Watch it. Just go out and figure it out for yourself. They're not always going to be true, but usually that guy with the big loud pipes called, you know, and he comes up, man, he gets out of the car and his mouth's doing the same thing. You'll find it the same way. Oh, raise that old truck up way up this high. Boy, he's a puffed up sucker there. Boy, he's just a little bit higher than everybody else. Well, I don't think it goes that way. Well, you just tell me how it goes then. We'll surrender to the sacred destiny. I watch things by the Spirit. We're talking about demon spirits today. And there's things that run patterns in demon spirits. There's certain ways. There's, the Bible said, the unseen things, these invisible spirits, are revealed by the things that we see. You see a woman out standing on the street corner in town in a long dress? She ain't all painted up and stuff. You're not going to say, oh yeah, I know she's a harlot. She's standing on the corner. No, you know how to identify a harlot, right? Doesn't she usually have a short dress on? Come on now. Very seldom be wearing a long dress out there, huh? Boy, they're going to get as much skin showing as they can. Boy, they're going to get that old top pulled down as low as they can, if they even got one. I'm just telling you how to identify demons. You say, well, they might be a son of God. They might be. They just ain't realized it yet. Somebody's going to do like they did right here and cast 7 different devils out of them. And then all of a sudden they'll start walking like a righteous person. You understand what I'm saying? We need to understand what demons are and how they're lurking around you and in your homes and in your families. Little children, demons come and try to enter into their minds. This is why the Bible said the rod of correction drives that spirit far from the child. And when daddy doesn't bust their hind end because he's been listening to some psychologist and saying, oh, well, we just don't believe in that. Well, daddy's going to believe in the psychologist and watch his son go to hell or his daughter. But Jesus said, we don't spare the rod. Beat him. Don't kill him, he says. That's part of our obligation. You understand that as a parent? You see, you got to bust their tail. You have to do it. No, you don't maybe want to, but you have to do it as an obligation to get the spirits away. You see, when a mother lets her child backtalk them and says something smart to them, that mother has no concern for the child's soul. That mother is signing a death certificate for that child. When a grandmother lets a child sass or talk back, that grandmother is signing a death certificate for that child. That is a demon spirit. Oh, but you know, Brother Rob, this and that. No, it's a demon spirit. The Bible said all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Little children, how many of you taught your children to lie? But no, boy, they'll figure out that they could lie and get by some. No, I'm not the one that busted the window out. No, I'm not the one that broke your knickknack on the table. No, I'm not the one that done that. It was Sissy that done it. Oh, it was Brother that done it. Kids learn to lie. You got to watch for that. That's a demon spirit looking to enter that kid. Raise it up in the way that it should go. So if you don't raise it up, teaching that kid that that's a lying devil when it's little, it's going to be part of him. It's going to be fabric with him. He's going to be one with that devil. And if he's going to lie to mama, he's going to lie to the teacher, he's going to lie to the law, he's going to lie to God. It's your responsibility. We're talking about demons this morning, brethren. And we've taken this demonic realm and the spiritual realm, and we've made it into some kind of Hollywood play game. But they're around us. They're perplexing us. They're pursuing us on a daily basis. We got to learn that we're fighting. A fight, the good fight of faith. We got to learn that we're in a continual warfare. And when you get weak and down, you might be a moral fighter, so to speak, if there's such a thing. You get the best of a guy and you walk away. Satan don't do that. If he gets you down, he's going to stomp on you while you're down. He don't play fair. Never has. Never will. So we got to learn his tactics. We got to learn the way he moves and the way he does. Where was we at? Verse 27 here. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to the land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. You know why you see people stripped off today without no clothes? Because they got these devils for a long time. That's what devils want to do. They want to strip you off. Now I can show you that ones that walked with Jesus now, they walked with Jesus, were numbered with the 12 disciples, apostles. And when they walked with Jesus, everything was okay. But when after Jesus was crucified, they went back to their ways of fishing. And how were they found when Jesus came along walking on the Sea of Galilee? Was found naked. Come on now. He grabbed his robe. Why did he grab his robe and put it on when he saw the Lord? See, some of us are in that world. Well, there's the preacher, boy. It's time to get holiness. You're just playing games. Found naked. There's many things that have to do with nakedness. Number one, we talked about the armor of God. We were speaking a little bit about this morning. When a person's found naked, we found the Samaritan had come along and he found the man and said, half dead and naked on the side of Jericho Road. He was naked. He didn't have armor. He didn't have the clothing, the wedding garment on. Now, I know we're going to take this nakedness over into a spiritual realm and talk about being clothed in the wedding garment of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but there's a reflection in this world of those things. And when you don't have the wedding garment of the Lord on, it's getting a bad day and hour now, but usually even when heathens and harlots marry, they even usually get long white dresses, don't they? And they usually try to cover up. At least they understand a little bit about it. But now they're cutting the sleeves off and the tops and dragging them down and everything, because everything's filthy and perverted. But I'm just telling you, there's things for a reason in the allegoric realm, in the patterns and the types. We got to learn to see it, observe it, and watch it. So you're telling me every time I see a woman stripped off, it's a devil? Well, let me tell you like this. You're going to be right more than you're not. I don't believe that. Well, you're an unbeliever. I don't think it has anything to do with the way a woman dresses, if she's a child of God or not. You know, I'm just telling you what the Bible teaches us. Yes, there's women out there in their pants and their shorts and different things that love the Lord and they have an experience with God. But I'm going to tell you what, the spirit of holiness will draw them out of that. It will draw them out of that. They will not stay in that. Well, I think you preach too much on the clothesline. Somebody needs to. You go to these churches nowadays, man, and it looks like you went to a freak show. They just don't know their Bible. The Bible said a woman to be shamefaced. And most people don't even know what that means. A woman with a protruding spirit, a projecting spirit, an arrogant, loud woman, that's not shamefaced. That woman's on her way to hell. You find a strong-spirited woman, it's a demon. Women are not supposed to be strong-spirited. When a woman's got a strong spirit, it's a demon. Listen to me, brethren, sisters. It's a demon. Well, I don't, you know, you're just too strong, Brother Rob. You got wonderful people. I say amen, and these wonderful people are going to realize when demons are coming out and say, you know what? My pastor said that when I give places, it's the devil. I need to quit giving place this thing. A woman with a forward spirit is a demon. The Bible said you got to be shamefaced. Come on now. They're not projecting their image. When they want to wear tight clothes, project everything out, it's against the Word of God. Supposed to be dressed in modest apparel. Well, I think my wife in her pantsuits, that's modest. Well, you figure it out. I tell you what, some of them pantsuits do look much better than some of the skimpy, tight, form-fitting dresses some would want to wear. I could say that I've seen some of them pantsuits look more godly than some of the filthy, perverted dresses that some of them wear. All right, enough meddling. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Come on, man, I'm preaching to a holiness church. You sound like a bunch of Baptists in here. Oh, come on. Somebody say amen. All right, I'm going to read on just a little bit. We're talking about spirits now. Do you understand spirits? Do you understand spiritual warfare? Do you understand the way he operates? I hope so. Verse 27, it says, "And when he went forth into the land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and were no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in tombs." Somewhere out there in the grave tombs, there's for sure why they still yet live. The Bible said twice dead, plucked up by the roots. "When he saw Jesus, he cried out, and he fell down before him with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not.'" You may tell you I'd recognize that spirit today. Now we're bringing things into reality here. It's when you go to the church and the preacher says, "Oh, you can't judge." That's the same thing this demon was saying right there. "Don't you judge me." Oh man, that's one of the biggest moves of the devil there ever was. You go to the house of God to be judged. You need to find your Bibles and understand them. That's what we're here for, because either judgment goes now or judgment goes on the other side. If you want judgment on the other side, it's going to be cast into hell. You want judgment on this side, it's getting rid of those things that are unpleasing to God now. "For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Legion. Because many devils were entered into him.' And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him, and he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. And went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked." I think in one of the Gospels, I think it said there was about 200 swine there. I believe it said that. I could stand corrected. That'd have been a lot of devils, huh? 200 swine ran down. Okay, let's bring that to an action thought today. Man and woman's got demon spirits giving place to things. They come in the presence of the Lord, and these spirits that are relieved of these spirits, the chains are broken and those things, and those spirits are going to go, just like they did here. And where are they going to go? They're going to go out in the swines. Jesus called them pigs, the religious people. Swines, slow bellies, dogs, vipers. Hey, I didn't say it. Jesus said it. If you get upset with somebody, get upset with him. I'm just telling you what he said. And these demon spirits are going to go out looking for these places. The Bible said that when you cast out a devil, it goes out into the dry places looking for a place of inhabitation. Why do demon spirits do that? Because demon spirits cannot kill, steal, nor destroy until they enter into the thoughts of a man or a woman. And when they enter into the thoughts of a man or woman, then they could speak, they could kill. And you'll find that when you start trying to live right or do right or trying to serve God, there's going to be a host of demon spirits that are going to come through your family, through your friends, through previous and things. They're going to come, evil communications, and they're going to corrupt you. Oh, man, them people are legalistic over there. Oh, their people are self-righteous over there. They don't want you over there because you get the fetters broken, the bands broke off. They want you to go over and tickle the ears just a little bit and everything's okay. Brethren, this is a real... This isn't a game. This isn't some kind of a thing. It's a real, true, genuine warfare. And if you could just get your eyes open for a brief second, you're going to see that you are going to need the Holy Ghost and Lord God. Amen. We're outnumbered. We are outnumbered. Do you realize that? We're outnumbered. You think Gideon had a small army when he was looking against the adversary there? Let me tell you something. But we're more powerful. I'm telling you that. We're more powerful. But we got to make sure we're in the Spirit. Are you led by the Spirit? Are you filled with the Spirit? Are you walking in the Spirit? You see, naturally speaking, you have to eat. You have to go and eat. If not, you grow weak. Spiritually speaking, you've got to eat. But you know, naturally speaking, people are eating things and it's destroying them and killing them. Spiritually, on the spiritual side, same thing. People are eating of things that are poison. And they're dying, they're perishing. There's been a table spread through media, table spread through social media, table spread through Facebook, table spread through TBN, table spread through the Baptist Convention, table spread through the Southern Baptist and the Methodist and the Church of God and the Assemblies of God. All of them. They're all corrupted. I'm sorry. Well, I don't think they're all bad. I'm telling you what. Assemblies of God used to be one of the biggest Pentecostal organizations in the world, and now they're allowing tattoo parlors in their churches. You know what that is? It's of the devil. Amen. Well, I don't see nothing wrong with it. Well, read your Bible. Read your word. It tells us not to mark ourselves up. I got plenty of people in here with tattoos. I'm sorry if it's offensive to you. But you know, you've done a lot of dumb things when you was walking with the devil. Come on now, I love you. You know, you've done a lot of dumb things. You just have to have one on. It's like I said, the fat person. They show that obese devil that they keep gorging down their throat. It just sticks out all over. Okay, you're fat. You can make excuses. Well, I'm pleasantly plump. No, you're fat. I'm just telling you, let's get real. We all play games too much. Okay, so you got a tattoo on you. Shows that, okay, I was walking with the devil. Okay, so be it. Praise God. Rejoice. So I got delivered from that thing.
Thank you, Lord.
Paul said he had marks on his body. His came from scars and swords and whips for his testimony of Christ's sake. Some have wounds that stink because of their foolishness. Brethren, you could have a tattoo, or sister, you can have a tattoo and God can fill you with the Spirit. You're going to do everything you can to cover that nonsense up. Oh, but mine says Jesus on it. What you going to say about that, preacher? You don't want to hear it. I had one the other day and had a tattoo on his arm and it says, "You can't judge me. Only God could judge me." I said, "Why'd you put a lie on your arm?" I guess I'm kind of bold. I told him just like I said, "Why'd you put a lie like that on your arm?" "What are you saying?" Well, he didn't like it. I'm different than some of you, I guess. I think if these people are going to write all over themselves, it's artwork. Aren't you supposed to look at it? And then they act like they're offended. You know, I go and grab the guy's arm like, "Oh, let me see that. Who are you?" And I said, "Well, you got art on you. Why would you put all this if you didn't want somebody to look at it? What would you put that on there for?" You know, some woman gets herself in her tight-fitting little jeans and pulls her top down and walks like a street-walking tramp, and some guy looks at him, what you looking at? What you dress like that for is what he should say. If you don't want people looking at you, don't dress like that. You don't want people coming up looking at your junk that you write on you, don't put it on you. Huh? I guess I'm too simple, ain't I? People are just ignorant. I'm sorry. The apostle said, I would have you not to be ignorant, brethren, of spiritual gifts. We need not to be ignorant about these things, brethren. I don't recommend you do what I do. I guess grace of God might be with me a little better than some. They ever threatened to whip you, Brother Rob? Sure they have. Man, I've had them in my face threaten to beat me up and everything and smile at them and say, then what? Amen. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Brethren, we got to realize that we're in a spiritual world. The religious world, I'm going to close with this thought. The religious world, I heard a preacher speaking here just in the last day or so, and they say, well, it's under the blood. I went out and I violated Brother John here. Well, it's under the blood. I went and took advantage of Brother Ed. Well, it's under the blood. You know, I went over here and I didn't do this right on a business deal. It's under the blood. That's a life from hell. It ain't under the blood. When you know to do right and you go do those things and you say it's under the blood, you're nothing but a liar and your place is the lake of fire, preachers included. I'll tell you what's under the blood for you can understand that. The sins of the flesh came under the blood. The sin of the flesh, and no, there's not going to be one man or one woman stand for the sin of the flesh before the Lord and cast into hell. It's the sin of the soul. And when you have come and been washed in the blood and that sin nature and that debt was paid and death being abolished, then you've come into another dimension. And when we get into that second realm, the transformation realm between the first and the third heaven, and you get into that realm, there's a fight and a warfare there. And what got you into that thing is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's the saving of the soul. And the thing is that once you've been born again and tasted of the world to come and been enlightened by this Spirit of the Holy Ghost, amen, and been partakers of this thing, and then you go off in willful acts of disobedience, the Bible said, there remaineth no more sacrifice for that sin. What that's saying is, the blood of Jesus is not going to cover that sin. But you have one thing to look forward to, and that's the fiery indignation of God. The fiery indignation of God for a heathen is cast into the lake of fire. The fiery indignation of God for a son of God is being purged by the fire of the Holy Ghost. We know that's the scriptures. He said, I come one after me that baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Fire burns out chaff. Fire burns out those unpleasing things. Dad's rod fire, it burns that little boy's hind end, and all of a sudden he's going to quit lying. All of a sudden he's going to quit cheating. He's going to quit doing the things that are unpleasing. And my Heavenly Father, He said, I chasten them that I love. And if you ain't getting your hind end whooped once in a while by the Lord, then you're a beast and you ain't a child of God. Because He said He chastens them, His children. Amen. Well, you're just trying to justify your ignorance, preacher. You're just trying to justify yourself just because you're mean and you're just hard on people. And I said, well, go talk to Jesus then. He was kind of tough too. At least when you walked in the door, I didn't say, how you doing, you scribe and you Pharisee, you serpent, you pig, you swine, you dog? Did I call anybody that when they came in today? I did not, did I? Okay. Boy, you'd really drop if you walk in the door and I said, hey, you swine pig. He said, I think I'm going to go down to Baptist church. They don't talk to me like that down there. Yeah, I always pick on Baptists, don't I? I got a house full of Baptists in here, you know that? If I ask you all to stand up to come through the Baptist circles, I might have to repent, huh? I'll tell you what, I thank God for the Baptist message of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified and shedding His blood and repentance. I'll tell you, there's some mighty, mighty fine ministers that love the Lord. And maybe one of these days they'll get saved when they come out of the Baptist circles. That wasn't nice. I shouldn't have said that. No, I really mean that. I know that there are Baptist men of God that really love the Lord. I told you the other night, Billy Sunday was a Baptist. He was a fine man. He'd shut the town down. Stand with me, please. Y'all love the Lord? I love y'all. I appreciate you. Just remember that you're in a spiritual warfare. There's demon spirits that are trying to inhabit you. They're trying to come into your spirit. They're trying to fill you. They're trying to take you. You see, Jesus, there's a dispute for your body. There's a fight going for your body. The Lord Jesus wants to fill you with His Spirit and use your body. Satan wants to use your body. He wants to use you to lead people into hell. The Lord wants to use you to lead people into the kingdom of God. So who are you yielding your members to? Who are you married unto? Now listen closely. I could turn you over to Galatians and read this to you. But it said, whoever you yield your members to, whoever you yield your members to are who you are of. So if you yield your members to Satan, satanic influence, fleshly lust, the pride of life, to the careers and the things of this world, if you're just always yielding your spirit to that, then you're of your father, the devil, according to the Bible. That's who you're of. But if you would yield your members to the Lord God, and you allow Him, yes, you could be in careers, you could be involved in those things, but you've yielded your members to the Lord, and you do it for a biblical reason. The Bible says, labor that you have to give. Are you laboring that you have to give, or you're laboring for your own self? Oh, I knew you was going to bring it down to money and finance and offering. Have I ever asked you for anything? I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Try it someday. You start giving unto the Lord and He'll give back to you. My pastor, you say, give yourself rich, keep yourself poor. And we got people that are walking far below the means because they don't know how to give. You want to save your life? Then give it. That's the Bible way. If you want to save your life, give it. You try to hold on to your life and keep your life, keep your thoughts, do what you want to do, go where you want to do, you're going to lose your soul. It's that simple. All right, let's sing a song or two. The altars are open this morning. Brethren, we need to be in prayer one for another. We need to be in prayer for so many. Since we're talking about offering, there's an offering plate back in the back. If it wearies me asking to help Brother Steve out incarcerated in prison, he's in there winning souls, brethren. He's helping people. We're sending him literature. He's distributing it. He's praying with people. We're getting letters from other inmates and prisoners and different things of their labors. And I'm not asking for a lot, but you put in a dollar, and this one puts in a five, and this one puts in a dollar, the 80's covered. But if you don't feel to do it, don't feel pressed about it. I like being partakers, helping. There's been literature going out in the mail and different things on a daily basis. I say daily, I should say weekly basis. Been sending books and Bibles. Some of you have helped purchasing some of the Bibles that were given to some of these young converts in there. Pray for them. That is an obligation. You may not feel obligated to share, but you're obligated to pray. He's very thankful and very appreciative to you, brotherhood, your labors, and the things that you're doing. He's doing $20 a week in the commissary where they go, they could get a little bit of food. They could buy their stamps for letters and mailing. You know what they're doing with the stamps? They're taking the stuff and the tracts and stuff, sending it to other prisons, the inmates. I'm glad to be part of that. Amen. So, you have an opportunity if you'd like to help. Let's sing a song or two, brethren. The altars are open this morning. Just remember, Satan is seeking about like a roaring lion to see who he could devour. Learn to fight the good fight of faith. Remember Billy O'Part's family? His grandfather passed away this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Pray for him. Billy's father's a heathen, been a drunk all of his life, and maybe looking at his father, lifeless, he might get a touch of eternity to see what the destiny is for all flesh. Pray that maybe Billy's dad at this moment of time could see his own destiny with calamity of corruption of flesh back to the dust. Maybe he could examine his ways and get born again. Thank you, Lord. Maybe some of you have had the opportunity, I may say, to bury somebody that you love that was a heathen. You usually lie to yourself, say, oh, they're in a better place. No, they're in hell, in eternal torment. Go ahead and lie to yourself, it makes you feel better. But let's get real with the Word of God. All liars, all drunkards, all harlots are going to have their part in the lake of fire. And we don't do something about it while they're alive. When they put them in a box, they're going to be finding themselves in eternal damnation. Let's get real and quit playing religious games. We love you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord God. Love you, Jesus.
The roar will be still of the blessings for which we
pray. We're going to close right directly. If you want to come into the altars, they're open. Amen. We got friends all over the country, different parts of the world. They write us, they ask for help, they ask for prayer. Brethren, we need to be in prayer. We got minister friends out there in different parts of the world, different places, that need prayer. They need strength. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord Jesus. The Lord together. Let's praise the Lord this morning. Let's ask Him to fill us with His Spirit. Let's ask Him to anoint us with the...
Sacrifice.
We love you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord God. Hallelujah. I feel the cleansing power of the Holy Ghost. Just lift up your hands and say, Lord Jesus, cleanse me. Oh, Lord God, fill me with your Spirit. Oh, Lord, prepare me. Prep me for this warfare, this fight, the good fight of faith. Lord, let me be a soul winner. Hallelujah. Let me be a soul winner, Jesus. Teach me to lead people into the kingdom. Lord, let me be bold and strong, Lord God, in my testimony of holiness and righteousness. Lord, fill me with the spirit of virtue, the spirit of power, the spirit of godliness and holiness and cleanness. Oh, Lord, help me to conquer them demons, them devils that come and try to take my thoughts, take my mind. Help me, Lord God, to learn how to wage war against these demon spirits that are trying to take my family. Oh, God, help me. Hallelujah. I got a brother, rock and roll music and metal music, travels all over the country. Everything around him is flames and skulls and things like that. Why? Because that's the world of darkness, the world of the demonic realm. I'm going to be doing everything I can to win souls into the kingdom. Well, why don't you try to win your brother? I'm without honor in that land. So I'm going to be trying to do something to help other families and trust. Trust that somebody will reach him, somebody will find him, somebody will help him. He tells me when I talk with him, he says, look, don't talk to me like I don't know God. I think, wow. He says he knows God. Everybody knows God, but does he know you? Because he said, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity, depart from me. And he knows everything, but he said, I never knew you. Never that marriage relationship got to marry unto him. We got to submit our spirits to him. We got to lay our life down for him. Amen. We got to lay it down. We got to become weak for he could become strong. You're not going to make it into the kingdom in your masculinity. You say, well, you preach a gospel very masculine, Brother Rob. No, Brother Rob stands before the Lord in fear and trembling. It's the Christ that comes alive in me and speaks the same way he did when he walked among men. Amen. If you got boldness in you, let it be the boldness of Christ, not the arrogance of human flesh. Amen. If you could discern the spirits, you could discern the difference between them. Arrogancy, haughtiness, will put you in a crash and a fall. You know, being macho, I think when you're full of the Holy Ghost, there's going to be a positive demonstration of strength in you when you're full of the Holy Ghost. But when it's a macho thing from a fleshly inspiration, you might meet a sword, a dagger, a knife, a gun. And you may do that anyway with all of your humility and meekness. They killed Jesus. There's been men of God that have been shot out from behind sacred desk. There's men of God walking in other countries. There's one over there, I believe it's in Iran right now, a pastor. Said he's sick, being beaten, being abused, and he's incarcerated because he's a Christian. We need to remember them, man. We need to pray for that, man. Let's pray for him right now. Anybody know his name? Anybody remember his name here? Lord knows his name, the one I'm speaking about. I've been pleading for him. Let's pray together. Let's lift our hands. Most gracious Father, as we take this brother right now before you, Lord God. Father God, I thank you, Lord God, that he has made us stand for the name of Christ, Lord. As he found himself in bonds and imprisoned, Lord God, and beaten and being disciplined for his testimony of Christ, Father God, give him the strength to win souls. Let him see the light of the glory of God upon his face when they abuse him, Lord God. But Father God, we're asking you right now in the name of the Lord Jesus to deliver him. Lord God, let this cry out for him, Lord God, be heard in the heavens and free him from that country right now. Let Satan take his hands off of him in the name of the Lord Jesus. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Father, free him. Free him, Lord God. I know you've allowed this in your will, Lord God. You've allowed him suffering, Lord, to show Christ in the earth. Father, set him free, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you. We love you. We worship you, Lord God. Father, these ones standing in the altars this morning, Lord God. Father, bless the needs. Father, I know there's needs here this morning, Lord God. Father, as we stand in repentance before you, Lord God, asking you to forgive us of our failures, our weaknesses, we ask you to forgive us this morning that we've yielded to these demon spirits, Lord God, in our lives. We've fallen, we fail, Lord God. We thank you that your grace has been there to pick us back up. But Almighty God, strengthen us, anoint us, and fill us with your Spirit that we can walk in the demonstration and the power of the holiness and of the Holy Ghost, Lord God. Fill us with your Spirit. Anoint us with your love. Anoint us with your power. Let us be numbered with you as soul winners, Lord God. We love you. We worship you, Lord, and we praise you in the name of Jesus. Let's worship the Lord before we close the service. Let's stand here together and sing unto the Lord. Let's worship him. Let's praise him. Let's magnify his name. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you in love with Jesus? We love you, Lord. We praise your holy name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This pastor's name that's over there, his name, I'm not sure if I can pronounce it right, but Saheed Ben Denai, something like that. Let's remember him, brethren, and pray. I know we prayed together right now, but we need to be calling his name out, Lord. But you know why we got this one? Because it's come to our attention because of the news media, internet posting and different things come to our attention. But how many other in the same place tonight? How many other are being beaten as we speak right now in foreign fields and foreign countries? You know, and again, we got to learn, brethren, there's another dimension. This is one dimension, but there's a dimension that preachers are being killed every day in. I've been crucified over and over and over and over again, and I rejoice. And you say, yeah, Brother Rom, you know, when you talk about you being crucified, it was nothing like Jesus going to the cross of Calvary and being nailed to a cross. You know, that was a terrible thing. Well, let me tell you something. When you take a son of God today, a minister of the gospel of Christ, and you crucify him by speaking against him, you're worse than the one that literally nailed the hands in, because that man is winning people into the kingdom. And when you've killed him, that means he's not bringing people into the kingdom. And every person that you destroyed his testimony to because of the devil in you, and when you've done that, you will have that person's blood on your hands, and you're going to have a worse damnation than the ones that literally drove the nails into Jesus' hand. I'm telling you. He said, what you do to the least of these, my brother, and I stood before you, and I said, I'm the least of all of you. I'm the least of all in the kingdom, of all the ministers and children of God, sons of God, I'm the least of them. And he said, what you've done to the least of sorry, no good individuals like Brother Rob Coons that are walking in their weakness and they're stumbling around, the weakest like me, what you do unto them is what you've done unto him. You understand? That's what the Bible says. So I'm not trying to be in somebody in your eyes, of somebody great, great magnitude or something. I just want to be in labor with my Lord and do something for Him to help win a soul. And hopefully I can help you. Hopefully I can help you in your families, in your friends, or whatever it may be, to win into the kingdom of the Lord. You love Jesus? Let's give Him a hand this morning. We love you, Jesus. I felt the wonderful Spirit in the altars here this morning. And I know sometimes we lay hands on, sometimes we don't, but I can tell you this, go with peace in your spirit that God heard your prayer this morning and He touched you. Amen. Amen. Did you get what you wanted this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Or should I say, did you get what you need this morning? I love y'all and appreciate you. It's good to have Brother Derry with us this morning. Appreciate the brother. He needs your prayers. He stepped into a new battleground. He's doing well. He's talked with me. I've heard some of his testimonies. Satan ain't playing easy with him. He's hitting him pretty hard. He's a big man, yeah. But he's in a different realm now, different dimension, different fight. He's doing well. I think he'll adapt and learn how to fight this fight. Pray for him. Need your prayers. He needs your help. He needs you to be standing with him. One could set 1,000 a flight. Two could set 10,000 a flight. He can't do this on his own. I can't do this on my own. We need one another. We're a brotherhood. We need to unify together. We need to come together. We need to fellowship together. We need to labor together. We need to do these things together. As a guy fell away from God, a man from the church went over to his house. They're sitting there by a fire. And a hot coal popped out of the fire and landed over on the cement mantle. It was glowing hot. And the guy pointed at that. He said, you see that thing right there? He goes, that was you. He said, hot and on fire for God. That coal came out. But see, when it got out here all by itself, watch it cool off and he watched the light go out. And that's what we do. That's why we got to stay together. We're filled with the fire of the Holy Ghost and we keep each other ignited, stirring up that purity of God and holiness within. Be filled with the fire of the Holy Ghost, amen. I'm not against speaking in tongues. I pray in tongues on a daily basis, brothers and sisters. But if your expression is you're sure that you got the Holy Ghost because you're a tongue talker, I feel very sorry for you because the Holy Ghost is so far beyond that. You know, yes, you get filled with the Holy Ghost. Yes, you may speak in tongues, you praise God, this and that, but I've seen too many tongue-talking devils. And the thing is that when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, I'm going to see the fruit of righteousness, holiness. I'm going to see the love of Christ. I'm going to see the love of God demonstrated in you. You're going to be walking as an overcomer with all authority and power, not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Amen. Making allowances for little babies, brethren, but we still, I expect to see strength and stability. I just don't like this sissy religion. I don't like sissy Christianity. I just don't like wimps. And you say, well, Brother Rob, you know, we all can't be ignorant like you. Well, if this is ignorant, I like it. Amen, because I'm going to walk with the demonstration, the authority, and the power over serpents. And yes, I'm going to offend them. I'm going to speak, and they're going to be offended, because Jesus offended many. When he done, he said, well, if you offend a little one, you're better off to put a millstone around your neck. I think Jesus was worried about that when he called the woman a dog, huh? Came for the healing of his daughter. See, you don't understand that. You know, that's not trying to win a soul and rebuke the devils. That's not the fence he's talking about, brethren. And there's little children that are innocent, and they're little children, they're trying to learn and grow. And some people, through their arrogance, and because they got a killing, murdering spirit on them, they go and offend one of them and put them out of church. That's the one that would have been better off to put a millstone around their neck. We got to go line upon line, precept upon precept. I love you and appreciate y'all. Let's give Lord Jesus a hand. Amen.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.